I want to talk a little bit, and I'm not going to be here for very long, about communion this morning. Now, it's a while since we have shared communion together as a body. That's not deliberate, but it brought me, as we put it on the agenda for today, to thinking about the importance that we place on communion and why we share it and why it's an important part of what we do. And it brought me a bit of conviction, actually, because it is a massively important part of what we do as believers, but it's something that had kind of just fallen off the agenda, which is terrible. But it brought me, and it reminded me of what my childhood was like. I've shared several times before that I went to a very high church, Anglican church as a child. It was the Eucharist every Sunday. And I was in the church choir, and, you know, it was the same words all the time. And I was in the choir stalls with my friends, and we knew the words by heart. We just had to make sure that we were triggered by the right sentence to remember to take our chewing gum out and shove it under the choir stalls before we went up for communion. You know, otherwise we'd get all manner of problems with wafers and chewing gum and shared goblets of wine and all of that kind of stuff. And that was about the sum of what it meant to me. Because I was completely complacent about it. It was just part of a routine. So those two revelations this week have brought me back to look at Paul's teaching about taking communion in 1 Corinthians. I looked first at the Last Supper and at the way that Jesus instituted this with his friends. And then I looked at what Paul says in Corinthians about it. And obviously, you know, I'll read bits. Feel free to find it in your Bible. It's chapter 11, if you want to. But God was really reminding me, as I read this, of the significance of taking communion to us as believers. It is an act of remembrance. When Jesus instituted it at the Last Supper, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So I was looking at that a little bit more, because Paul had to teach this into this Corinthian church because they had kind of lost track of what it was about, what they really needed to be doing and why they needed to be doing it. So he was bringing a word of correction. And there is a tone of correction in it when you read it, you can tell. And there are a couple of verses that I'm just not going to get into today because, you know, there's some stuff about if you've been doing it wrong, that's the reason you're sick and that kind of stuff. We don't need to deal with that today. That's a conversation for another day, okay? he's saying to them, there's a reason why we do this in the way that we do it, and there's a reason why it is that remembrance. But I looked at what it says, and I'm reading it in the Message, so I haven't got the exact verse. And I looked at it in the Message partly because I am so familiar with the text in some of the older translations from my childhood that it kind of doesn't mean as much to me. And I think sometimes looking at the Bible in a fresh translation can give you fresh eyes on what God is saying in it. So that's why I looked at it in the Message. But, you know, it's all the Bible. It's good whatever translation you use. And it said, "My body broken for you." And that phrase, "my body broken for you," the remembrance that as we take the bread, we are remembering Jesus' sacrifice. His body physically broken on the cross for you. It doesn't actually say for everyone at this point. It says for you. It was personal. It's an individual sacrifice for each and every one of us. It's someone who cared so much about people that they'd never met and never would meet in the flesh, that they were prepared to sacrifice their own body for those individuals. And those individuals are us, individual people. So as we take the bread in a minute, I would just encourage you to think, what has Jesus' sacrifice done for you personally? How has your relationship with the Trinity changed your life? What about your life is different now because of Jesus' sacrifice? And then when he talks about taking the cup, it says, this cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. And it was the focus on the phrase, my new covenant with you, that struck me. Because Jesus' sacrifice is about our restoration of that relationship between us and God. It's about a restoration of who we were designed to be. This new covenant was not actually new. It was how it was supposed to be when we were first designed. That close relationship. And what Jesus' sacrifice did was enabled us to have that completely intimate, unfettered access to the Father. That's the new covenant. That doesn't involve us having to go through priests or make sacrifices or confess every single tiny little thing that we think we might have done wrong before we get access to God. That's the old covenant. The new covenant is completely unfettered access to God. And that's what we remember and celebrate when we drink the wine, when we take the cup. That we have this freedom to live in relationship with God. And it is freedom. It's a freedom that the people of the Jewish nation never had. It's a freedom that didn't exist before Jesus. And that's why the remembrance of what happened is so important. It gives us the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It allows us to exercise God's grace and mercy within ourselves for the relationships that we have with other people. All of that is what we remember when we take communion. And then it says, you will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. That's what had happened to me. Familiarity had bred contempt. And this is not a judgment. This is an invitation to take a minute and remember what has happened on the cross and on the third day. It's not just about the cross, it's about the resurrection, it's about the freedom. So have we taken communion lightly? Have we taken it without really thinking about what it is that we're doing? I'm sure all of us have at some point. I know I have hundreds of times. Today is an invitation to really think about its significance as we take it. To embrace the joy that we've been talking about this morning that comes from that incredible relationship that we can now have with God. We're invited, when we come to communion, to test our hearts before we take communion. And again, I don't believe that's a judgment. I don't believe it's about God saying you have to come and winkle out every tiny little thing that you might have done wrong, everything you might have said, everything, all of that before you come to communion. I don't believe that is it. It's just about taking a moment and connecting and using this as an opportunity to remember and to connect. And then it says, right at the end of the passage, it says, come together to the Lord's table. Now, one of the things that Paul was having to address with the Corinthian church was that they'd started taking communion on their own, just kind of doing their own thing. And everyone was bringing their own bread and wine. And people who couldn't afford bread and wine didn't have any, and they couldn't take it. And that was one of the things he was addressing. He was saying, come together. This is something that we do as a community. This is something that we do in joint remembrance that binds us, that bonds us, that grows and strengthens the relationships that we have as a community. So that's another thing that we can do as we come to communion today. Take communion together. Take it with people who you have a relationship with or who you want to strengthen that relationship with. Take it as a community with the people around you. We share it, we share from the common table because everybody here is equally valuable. And by sharing together, we acknowledge that and we build those relationships together. I love the last verse. It is a spiritual meal, a love feast. I think that ties in so much with everything that God has been saying to us this morning about his joy. It's a love feast because that's what his sacrifice came to give us. Love, joy, peace in abundance, overflowing. So when we come to communion, yes, it's a remembrance, but it's a joyful remembrance of the abundant life that we have because of Jesus' sacrifice. And because he beat death, he sacrificed himself, but we will still see him again. It's joyful. We should expect to come away from communion restored, refueled, re-energized, filled with joy, filled with everything that we need. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite everybody to come and take communion. I'm deliberately leaving it here. You sort yourselves out. Okay? And make sure that this is a community thing. Share with people around you. Grab a plate and take it over to where you're going or whatever. Come back for wine. There's the dark coloured one is wine, alcoholic. The lighter coloured one is non-alcoholic, blackcurrant. So take it. It's all good. Father, we thank you for the incredible sacrifice that you have made for us, for relationship with us. That was what you wanted all along. For us to be in that uniquely intimate relationship that we can only have with you. Thank you that your body was broken for us. That your blood was spilled for us. For that new covenant, for that abundant life. For everything we will ever need that comes from you. So Father, as we come and we take the bread and wine today, Father, I just ask that you will give us everything that we need. That you will restore in us that abundant life that you gave us. That you will help us to remember. Amen.